this morning that you are who God says you are. You are not who the society says you are. You are not who maybe some parent or some teacher or somebody told you. You are who God said you are. Is that okay? You need to understand that we are made in the image of God. And that's what we did last week. And last week I kind of began this series, you know, we're this new series of messages, because we are made in the image of God. And we are made to, in the appearance and the likeness of God. And I remember I talked about butterflies. Remember I talked about monarch butterflies? Remember all those monarch butterflies you used to see as a child? I said I hadn't seen them, but I was at Stouffer Park the other day, and guess what I seen? A couple of monarch butterflies. I guess they're back. I don't know, but I sure didn't see the thousands I seen as a kid, but they're back. But I was using that to talk about the change that goes on. That as believers, that you know, as those who follow God, as those who cross that invisible line, that there's some changes going on in us. Life changes, and there's some things, dynamics of our life that are different. But I want to make sure I drill into this, that we are in the image of God. And so that verse is there in your outline. Again, once you get that out, you can follow along. We got some blanks. I'm going to give you some other verses you might want to note later on to look at. But that verse, I want to dwell on this. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are all created by God. Every one of us is created by God. Not just us in this building here, but everyone outside doors. Your neighbor, even the one you don't like, guess what? Is created in the image of God. You know, that cashier at the bank that gives you a bad time is created in the image of God. Everyone is created in the image of God. And I want to make sure we dwell on this. But society has said, no, that's not the image. Remember I said we look into this kind of this funhouse mirrors. Anybody remember those funhouse mirrors? And they have all that, you know, makes you short, makes you tall, makes you big, makes you round. You know, it does all sorts of crazy things to you. Well, society's kind of named those images and said, it's okay. You're okay. Don't worry about it. But what we've noticed and what I'm seeing is if you follow those images that society says is okay, you end up with grief. You end up with depression, and maybe you feel worthless, or maybe you feel you don't matter, or maybe you feel life is meaningless because you look into this mirror that society says is okay. And what I'm saying is we need to turn from those mirrors and turn from what society says it's okay that causes grief and heartache, and look into the face of God and see the image that God created us in. That we're made in that image of God. But to be in that image means there's changes that need to take place, because that image was marred by sin. Anybody have a sin? No, you guys are all perfect, so we're all right. I like that. We got church here. But sin marred that image. That's what makes that image so messed up. You know, and then we say that's okay, and then that's when we get the grief. So when we cross an invisible line, you begin a process. A slow, long process of restoring that image of God, of looking back into the face of God and seeing who God created you to be, and you realize it's a process, and it's slow. And I'm going to give you a big theological word. Maybe you hear this word. This is a big word that theologians throw out there. It's there in your worship outline. It says sanctification, the process of making or becoming holy, set apart, holy to God. That's a little Greek word in there. So I paid my education worth something there. That as Christians, we cross an invisible line and there's a new nature going to take place in us. But it's a process. It's a slow process to become like Christ. And it's a long process. Sometimes it's three steps forward and two backward. Anybody know what I'm talking about there as you try to follow God? You know, maybe even sometimes I know in my class it's been two steps forward and three backwards, and not three forward and two backwards. And so we're in this process of becoming like Christ. And Peter wrote about it, made it real simple, and I'm going to go over this. Why don't you circle that word process first? Why don't you circle that word? But let's go on down to 1 Peter 1:15-16 right now. But because the God who called you is holy, you must be holy in every respect of your life. Scripture says, be holy because I am holy. We're supposed to take on that image of God. Now, I don't know about you, but the only thing ever is holy in me is either my socks or my jeans with a tear on them. Anybody? You know, That holiness is a challenge. That holiness is a battle in our lives. That's that two steps, three steps. That's that going to look like Christ, that process that we go through. And I want to kind of dwell on that this morning. I kind of want to think about that this morning. That process. What does that process look like? See, I was asked a question a few months ago. And it made me think. And I want to ask, and I'm going to share the question with you. But I'm not going to answer it right away. I'm going to have a little small, and then we'll answer the question. But the question is this. Can you be a Christian and support abortion? Somebody asked me that question. Can you be a Christian and support abortion? See, I believe, and Christians believe that every life is a gift of God, and life begins at conception. And when life beginning at conception, that an abortion is unbiblical. It's one of those things God looks down on. That, I'm going to use the word, maybe you might not like, it's called sin. Anybody know what? But I want to tell you something before I answer that question. And I want to be real clear here, so please stay with me for just a few minutes. Because I believe there's two victims in abortion. Okay, you need to hear me. Just sides of this church and the people here, there's probably somebody here who had to make that kind of a tough decision and battle decision. But see, society says, come over here and we'll take care of your problem. We'll take care of your issue. And society says this, but they create a victim. Because see, for me, as I, in the ministry and the paths I've walked, and the young ladies and some of the older ladies I've dealt with who are dealing with abortion, have dealt with abortion, they're victims. The child is not a victim. Society comes along and says, we'll take care of your problem, and then you can just go right on back to life, and it'll be okay. I remember when I was worked at the movie theater, one of the young ladies, and they knew I was a Christian, they knew I went to church, they knew my foundation and beliefs. And this one young lady, she was talking about it. She went and had an abortion one day. And she comes back to work a few days later. And she's crying. And she's hurt. In the conversation, she starts sharing that the doctor told her that that was her third one. And that she'd probably never have a child. And society says, it's okay. And you guys are quiet because this is a touchy subject. Isn't it? The doctor's saying, we took care of your problem, but they created another. Isn't that what he does? You know, and the girl was broken. And I had a chance to pray. Just so you know, I was not the father. Okay, I want to make sure that's clear. You know? But I was broken for this young girl. But then there's another one. And some of you heard me tell the story of a young girl that grew up here in our midst and journeyed through life with me and my kids. And I get a phone call one Saturday afternoon, and her mom and them are sitting in the house, and the girl is, again, just a young girl, and she's hurting. And she's calling, and she's talking, and we're sitting there talking for about 30 minutes, and she's talking about having a emotional breakdown, and she's having a nervous breakdown. In the midst of this conversation, she goes, it happened last year about the same time. She was this emotional turmoil in her life. She was wrestling with this, and in the midst of the conversation, her mom says, you got to tell me. She told me over a year ago she had an abortion. Then I'm sitting there thinking, this is Saturday. You know what Sunday was? Sunday was Mother's Day. I told the little girl, that, do you ever think there's a connection between the pain you're feeling now and that decision you made a long time ago? See, society says, we'll solve your problem, but they create a wounded victim. And I want to tell you, if you've had to make a decision like that, I want to tell you, God's grace is big. Anybody on board with that one? You guys need to say amen for that. You know, there's some people who've made some heart-wrenching decisions for whatever reason. And we're not here to judge, and I'm not pointing fingers, but I want to tell you something. God votes for you. Who cares? And if you had to make a decision like that, I'm going to tell you, God's love is arms open to wrap them around. He wants to pick you up. I had to pray with that young girl, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm excited because this young girl right now, she has four kids and is doing great in life. She got a great marriage. But I want to make sure you understand that. But to answer that question, can you be a Christian and support abortion? We're living in this society today where there's an outrage for Christianity and there's an intolerance and all the haters. How do we answer a question like that? And I told them this. I go, yes and no. It depends. Now here's what it depends on. How long have you been a Christian? If you just cross an invisible line and you've never sat down and thought about God created every living one and breathed into the life of every child. I believe this with all my heart, that God breathes into the life of every child. That's breath. But if you haven't had to face that question yet, then I could say, yeah, you might be able to. But if you've been a Christian 6 months, I want to challenge you to step back and see the image of God in every child. Am I okay? You guys see what I'm saying? How do we live like this as a Christian? We're in this process. We're in this process of being a Christian. And we don't know everything. You know, I've been a Christian now for, I don't know, 50 years, close to it. And I've been pastoring here 35 years. I got news for you. I don't know everything. I wish I did. I wish I had all the answers. I wish you guys could come and tell me your problem. I go, duh, 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 that's it. Now, I wish I could do that. But I'm still learning and I'm still growing. I'm in this process. And that's what I want to talk about today. How do we as a Christian, how do we live in a world that seems to say we're haters and we're intolerant when they're creating victims? How do we go through this? And what's this process going on in my life? And how does it work in my life? And so I kind of want to talk about that. But I want to begin with this verse right here because I want to tell you, I don't care what we do, society's always going to point fingers at a Christian. Look at what it says here. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, that I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world has a hard time understanding our belief system. Have a hard time understanding how we want to be seen and heard, experienced. See, I think the world wants Christians like this. Now, I'm going to give you two kind of models, and I want to show you the model that the Word of God has. See, I think the world wants to call Christians, you got to behave. And then you believe, and then you can belong. You behave like the world, and you believe like the world, and you belong to the world. You behave, and they have this, you behave, and then you believe, and then you belong. And I want to kind of flip that around, because I think it's different for God. See, I think as Christians, we belong to God first. And then we believe. And then because I believe, I'm going to behave a certain way. Does that make sense? That I belong. And then I cross that invisible line and I believe. And because of what God has done in my life, because of what God is doing in my life, all of a sudden I start behaving differently. I've shared in the past, you know, I grew up, I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. And I knew all, let's say it this way, I knew all the bad words. Anybody know all the bad words? Don't raise your hand. You know, I knew all the bad words and I knew how to use them well, okay? I mean, it was second nature to me. I thought if you couldn't cuss, you didn't know how, you were a fool. You were a nerd. But I can remember in the backyard, I had become a Christian. I remember I was in the backyard. I can still remember right where, I could go to that point at my dad's mom's house right now and stand right where that point was, where I realized, I don't know if I hit my thumb, I don't know what I did, but all of a sudden I'm going, I don't want to talk like that anymore. Something just clicked. I don't know how long I had been a Christian. I don't know when I had crossed. I can't remember all the details and the timing. But there was a point in my life when I realized I don't want to behave like that anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you're in this process of becoming, you're in this process of putting this image of God on, that God is working in your life, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't want to behave like that anymore. But see, what I want to tell you this morning, what we're going to look at this morning, it starts with belonging. And then once I belong and I get this sense of belonging, I begin to believe. I cross that invisible line and I believe that God created me in the image of God. And I believe that God created everybody in the image of God. And I believe that He my sins. And I believe He paid my price. And I believe. And then all of a sudden my behavior starts changing. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. How do we live? How can we live like this in the world today? That's what I want to propose to you this morning. That the world has this outrage against Christians, but we need to return that outrage. We need to return that hatred toward us into love. Okay? And so here's my first point. If you got your outline, it's like this. God made you, and you belong to Him. I'm going to ask you this morning, who do you belong to? You don't belong to your spouse, okay? You know, your kids don't belong to you. They belong to God. We belong to God. If you make something, ladies or men, if you make a cake, who owns that cake? Whose cake is that? It's mine. You can make the cake and it's mine, all right? No, if you make the cake, it belongs to you. If God made you, you belong to God. Everyone belongs to God. I want to tell you that, make sure you get this. Everyone. Look at what it says right here. I want you to circle that word everyone right there, right off the bat. For everyone. Did it say for some? For a few? For the elect? For the blessed? For the good-looking ones? Handsome? For everyone belongs to me. And who's me? God. Everyone belongs to God. The parents as well as the children. Both alike belong to me. Everyone belongs to God. Can I get any clearer than that? Everyone. You walk out of here, not just the people in church this morning. Everyone. The people playing baseball this morning belong to God. The people working at Taco Bell this morning belong to God. Everybody belongs to God. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter who you are. Your past has no relevancy. Everyone belongs to God. Is that what that says right there? And that means everyone. Everyone belongs to God. And that's who God is. And God loves who? Everyone, right? But He also, and if we're going to take on the image of God, what does that mean for us? We have to love everyone. And I got news for you. Some people make that hard. That might not be news to some of you. Some people make it hard. But we're to love everyone. I like what it says here in Leviticus. Now listen. Forget about the wrong things people do to you. No. Payback is so sweet, right? Come on. Forget about the wrong things people do to you and do not try to get even. Thank you, Jesus. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. We're to love everyone. This is what the world should see inside the church, but also in the world. We are not haters. You know what? I hate nobody. There might be some people I'm not a fan of. Some people I don't appreciate much. Can we have some of these words? Has anybody ever said something like this? I don't love them, but I'm going to like them. You know? See, we draw that. We need to love everyone. We should be known as Christians who love everyone. But I want you to notice something. Leviticus, now, I wish the Awana kid to show off you guys, because I don't think some of you are going to know the answer. Is Leviticus in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Anybody got an idea? See, the Awana kids know this, okay? That's the Old Testament. Everybody says, in the Old Testament, there's no love. Guess what? This is the Old Testament. Matter of fact, this is what Jesus quoted when Jesus was quoting the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. That's in the Old Testament. He was just quoting what he learned as a young Jewish boy. And then he quoted this. Love one another. Love those as your neighbor. And they wrestle with this because, you know, I'm going to love everyone, but who's my neighbor, right? Love your neighbor. Well, I love this neighbor, but this neighbor, he's two doors down, so he's really not my neighbor, right? I mean, when you get four doors down the street, they're really not your neighbor. And they're street over. You know, Jesus dealt with this. I don't mind, but anybody, some of you may be familiar with the story of this Good Samaritan. Here, write this down. Luke 10, 25 through 37. Write that down. You might want to read that. You know, little homework might be good for you. Jesus wrestled with this. Who's your neighbor? And he tells the story in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, that basically he's saying, guess what? Your neighbor is everyone. We need to love everyone. We need to reach out to everyone. That's what God has called us to do. And that's our challenge in our lives. When you walk out this door, I'm going to challenge you this morning. When you walk out, go out in the middle of the hallway right there. Turn around and look above the door. All right? Just when you walk out, go out, turn around and look above the door. And right above that door right there, it will read this verse right there. By this, all men will know you are my disciples. You have love for one another. Not just here in the church, but the world out there. See, that's our challenge. And if we're going to, you know, and this is what I want to say. We need to create a sense of belonging. I want, now just so you know, I want people who are hurting to be in this church on Sunday. Anybody? I want people who are wounded and broken to be here on Sunday. I want them to know we love them. I don't care what path they did. I don't care what they did. I don't care where they're hurt. If it's emotional, if it's physical, whatever it is. If somebody's here this morning and you made a decision, you made that hard decision about having, I want you to know God loves you and I'm glad you're here this morning. And I want to love on you. And let God love on you. Because you belong to Him. And He loves you. See, I want wounded people here. This is what I want. And that's what the world needs to see, that we have open arms to people who are hurting and wounded and battling life. Society just wants to throw that mirror up and put a tag on it. You know? That's all society. You know, put this funny-looking mirror. You look funny. Okay. You know, if I look funny, I ain't okay. My wife's going to fix that. You know? Gee, I was busy last night. I had to have a suit and a tie on, and my wife's correcting my tie. Every time I walk by, she was straightening my tie. But the society, no, you look funny, but that's okay to look funny. LGBTQ, abortion, all these things, they're just tagging it and saying, it's okay. Hurry. And you walk that path, and then your heart is grieved, and you're depressed, and you feel meaningless, and you feel hurt, but it's okay, that's society. Do you see that in society today? But what we as a church, what we as Christians need to be a place where we put our arms up and say, hey, we love you. Come on over here. You're broken, you're hurting. Come on over here, we'll walk with you. We'll be with you. We'll get you through this. And so I wrote it this, you know, even today's society, here's what you got to do. You must give people a sense of belonging. Do your neighbors have a sense of belonging? Do your friends? Does your family, do they have a sense of belonging? Or do they see the world judgmental? Intolerant? A hater? See, this is the funniest thing to me. Christian, and I'm saying, you know, I love everyone, and they're calling me a hater, and they hate me. Now, who's the hater? Am I wrong? You can tell me. I love you. Like I said, I had that girl in front of me when the old blue church here looked me in the eye and say, you know what? I hate you. And I look at her and say, I'm okay with that. Some people are going to like me. Some are going to hate me. Are you okay? And she really wasn't. And so we talked time. See, we need to have this idea where they have a sense of belonging. And this is a battle today. I just finished a book. This girl, her mom was a mover and shaker in the LGBTQ community, okay? Back in the 70s, this girl is ingrained in the LGBTQ community. She wrote the policies for one of the universities, major universities on the East Coast, on LGBTQ at the university. The funny thing is, some pastor was reaching out to her and was loving on her. She went to have dinner and had a sense of belonging with this pastor, and she became a believer. You know what's astonishing? She's married to a preacher now. All right? But one of her friends called her up. Somebody that was still in the LGBT community called her up and goes, "We can't be friends anymore." She goes, "Why did I do something?" She goes, "No, we can't be friends because you don't approve of me." She's going, "When did I ever approve of everything you did?" And we're trying to draw this distinction between, we've always said, "I accept everyone, but I just don't have to approve of everyone." And now they want approval too. But you know what? I'm sure some of you out here don't approve of things I've done and said. Gary has put his foot in his mouth. You know, 35 years of preaching means you're going to make some mistakes, okay? Am I right there? You know? Yeah? You know? And we're going to do some dumb things. And so, you know, we're not going to, I'm going to tell you, I don't approve of everything. Just, I'm married to my wife, and I love that girl. 42 years. We were talking about it last night. 42 years. But do I approve of everything she does? Woo! You know, and that's what she told the girl. She's on the phone, and she tells the girl on the phone, "When did we ever approve of everything each of us did?" She goes, "We didn't." She goes, "Then what's the problem now?" See, we got to work through this. And we're going to work through this not by holding our arms out, but holding our arms open with a sense of belonging. Am I making sense? You know? We got a lost world that needs Jesus, and they're hurting and they're wounded. I'm going to tell you, when the church reached out to me at 17 years old, they were a church. They weren't like this because they knew me. They lived around the corner from me, okay? And their hands were like this because they knew the Du Bois. They knew our lives. But fortunately, the biggest part of the church was like this. Does that make sense? See, everyone belongs to God. You belong to God. God loves to tell you something. I want this church to love you. And it's going to start with you. And I pretty much guarantee you, I can't think of anybody in the church that wouldn't say, "I love you" in this church. I'm serious. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you did. I don't care what your hurt, what your wound. I don't care what battle. I don't care what past you want to hold up. We're going to say, "I love you." We want to pick you up, and we want to walk with you. We want to begin that process of becoming, that process of sanctification, that process of being like God. So, we belong. But here's the trick, okay? Maybe I shouldn't use that word trick. Here's the challenge. Belonging isn't enough. Okay? Everyone belongs to God. But not everyone is a child of God. Did you hear? Make sure I'm clear. I'm going to make this as clear as mud as I can. Everyone belongs to God. But not everyone is a child of God. In order to be a child of God, you have to believe. You've got to cross that invisible line. You know, as a pastor, I get questions about other denominations. You know, we got a church across the street. James is our pastor over there. Good man. Good, you know, a good church over there. We had the Assembly of God over here with Paul and all of this. And my question is always this. And here's what I always say. What about all these other denominations? Here's my comment. If you preach you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you're okay. All right? That's what matters. It doesn't matter about the church. You know, when you get to heaven, we're not going to have, "Well, here's the Baptist section over here." You know, it's like the Italian section, you know, and then you got your Portuguese session over here, and you got your German session over here, you know. And my problem was, you know, I got my genealogy says I belong there, and I belong there. Where do I go?
know?
I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Assembly. It doesn't matter. Have you crossed an invisible line and believed in Jesus Christ? All right, so that's how you become a child of God. Look at what it says here. You are all God's children by what? Believing. Circle that word. By believing in Jesus Christ. Clearly all of you who are baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourself in Christ. He's saying, you've crossed that invisible line and you've proved it. You've shown it when you were baptized. And we're going to be baptizing pretty soon. I need one handle right now. We got it down. I filled it up, checked the heater, got everything going. Now I'm going, how full do I fill it? I don't want to flood the church. Man, we still got to work out some details in this thing. You know? But they proved it by following God in baptism. But you believe. Am I being clear here? You know, by believing, you know, you step across that line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I try to make it as simple as I can in this church. Ask Jesus into your heart. What does that mean? Here's a simple way. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. My way. I don't know about you, but I like my way. In my home, it's my way. Ask my wife. She's not looking in, thankfully. That I need to do it. God, I'm tired of my way. I want to do them your way. And how do I know God's way? This way. See, that's what we're talking about. And so we believe. You have to believe to be a part of God's family. So there's a difference between belonging to God and being a child of God. There's a difference. But this is something that's always been true. It goes all the way back to Abraham. Abraham and Genesis chapter 12, make a choice. Am I going to be part of God's plan? After Moses came, they had to make a choice again. I have this one here in the verse because I think this is really the way it is. Look at what it says here. That if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Now listen to what he says. Whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, whether you're going to serve all the traditions of long ago, whether you're going to serve all these other things long ago, or the gods and Amorites in whose land you are living, or whether you're going to serve society. You're going to live by society's rules, by what culture says is okay. You got to choose in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We have to choose. You belong to God. I'm going to tell you, everyone here belongs to God. And I pray everyone here is a child of God this morning. If you're not, right now, just say, God, I'm thinking my way. I want to do them yours in my life and take control. And you can become a child of God. Does that make sense? You have to believe. You got to cross that invisible line. You got to choose Jesus Christ. Who are you serving? Do you serve your self-interest? Life's all about me. My wants, my desires. It's my life, and I'm going to do it my way. I listened to somebody say the other day, one of the most dangerous songs ever was sung by Frank Sinatra. Can you believe that? Frank Sinatra. What that song was? I did it my way. I shouldn't sing. That's one of the most dangerous songs. I did it my way. You know, we need to do things God's way. And that's what believing is. God, I'm crossing that line. And so if you get that blank there, I put it this way. I believe, I must believe to be a child of God. Everyone believes to God, but I must believe to be a child of God. All right? Now you want to see a good picture of this. Write this down. John chapter 3. Just read about the first 16 verses. It's good to read all the way through the whole chapter. But at least read the first 16 verses. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus, basically, and it's like, what do I got to do, God? How does this thing all work? He's a good Pharisee. He was a religious person, but had no relationship with God. So that's homework, man. I'm giving you guys some good homework today. Read that third chapter and see as he wrestles with this believing. How do I believe? What about baptism? How does this all play? And how does this all work together? And we need to see this in our lives. But here's what John said earlier in the book of John. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children. Now, I wanted to make sure I was clear this morning. There's a difference between being an offspring of creation and a child of God. Does that make sense? There's a difference of belonging to God and being a child of God. Now, I don't want anybody here going out confused. You belong to God, but I'm going to ask you to cross that line. You're not a child of God until you cross that line. Until you say, God, you know, I've messed up my life. I've done it, and man, it's not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be. But then you need to know it's a slow, long process. I don't know about you, but I get tired. Anybody get tired? God, I'm doing this. God, I'm trying. Anybody like me? God, I want to be. You know, I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better grandparent. I want to be a better school board member. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better God. God. And that's that process of sanctification. It's a long, slow process. So you belong to God. And that's going to lead you to the line of belief. Then when you get to that line of belief, and you cross that line of belief, that leads you to a behavior. See, sometimes in some churches want to say, you got to behave first and then we'll take you in. You got to behave first and then I'm sure glad God didn't do it that way, because I would have never made it in. I'm God. God says, come on over here and we'll fix everything else. Just come on in. You know, belong. You belong to me. Just come on in and believe. And so I wrote it this way. Let's behave like a child of God. If you look at your outline, let's behave like a child of God. Let's act like a child. That goes back to that question I was asking. You're in this process, and as you're going down this process, you're asking honest, heartfelt questions. You're wrestling with heartfelt decisions, hard decisions in life. You're battling because you're hurt and you're wounded, and people are hurting you, and you're wrestling with life. And you're battling through life, and it's a process. And you'll make those 2-3 steps, and then you'll slide back. Sometimes you slide. Now, I always look for me. I always go, I want to make, you know, it's, life's a roller coaster. And I want to make sure my next down is not as down as the other one. Because it is. It's up and down. It's a battle. But see, we have this behavior. As Christians, we should behave like the image of God. Does that make sense? We should act like God. Loving, caring, compassionate. We should act like God. I gave you those last week, remember? You might want to write these down again. I got all the verses in here. You would have had a mile-long paper. You would have had 3 sheets of paper to write on. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. That's the character that God wants in us, those Beatitudes. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, over and over again. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Start with about verse 22. Love, peace, joy. There's 9 of them. Don't ask me to quote them. I guarantee them up. Probably forget patience on purpose. You want to talk about love? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read like verses 4 through 7. But read the whole chapter though. But concentrate on 4 through 7. See, it's how we behave. This is the image of God. We're going to turn and we look at the image of God and we say, this is what I want to be like. I don't want to be like this messed up image, this marred image that society says is going to be like this image, and that's going to call me to behave in a certain way. James wrote it this way. So you see, it isn't enough to just have faith. It's not enough just to believe. You must also do good to prove. Why don't you circle that word prove? Not to earn, not to deserve, not to achieve. But you must also do good works to prove that you have it. Your faith is seen in your behavior. Faith that does not show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. See, we don't become God. We become like God. Begin to take on the image of God. God is more interested. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. I'll probably say it the rest of the series. God is more interested in our character than our comfort. God wants to develop us. He wants to make us spiritual. And just so you get the picture here, The Christians were first called Christians. It says here the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because they walked in and said, hey, we're Christians today. No. Because they behaved like Christ, and so accused of being little Christ. Their behavior had set them apart. Their behavior had made a distinction in their life. Their behavior had changed things in their life. And that's how they know us, by our behavior. And so I want to challenge us. Are we acting like God? Do we have a sense of belonging, a sense of love? Do we have a sense of an acceptance? Am I behaving in a certain way? Am I acting, my attitude, my actions, my thoughts, are they a certain way? But I'm going to tell you what's so fun about this, or what's a relief about this is, I don't know about you, but it's hard. It's hard. That God gave us the Holy Spirit to help. You don't have to do this all by yourself. You got the Holy Spirit who's going to help you. And it's really good what the Holy Spirit does, because it helps you in two ways. Look at what it says here. But in fact, it is best for you that I go. Now, this is Jesus. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven. He's telling his disciples, listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to raise in 3 days. I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send something else. Look at what it says. But in fact, it is best for you that I go. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. Now, when you see advocate, think Holy Spirit, okay? You see that word advocate, think your Holy. He's your advocate. He's your defender. He's the one that's going to help you. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, and he will come, and he will convict. That word convict. The world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. He's going to convict the world. Are you part of the world? You ever feel convicted? Has the Holy Spirit ever convicted you, or is it just me? He's just, you know, he's got enough trouble with Gary. Don't worry about him. But he convicts the world. He convicts us. And he helps us transform our life. He helps us turn from those mirrors and turn to the face of God and go, God, I want to be like you. God, I want these qualities in me. This is what I want to be. I want to be that person. Galatians chapter 5. I want to be that person of love and joy. Person of peace and kindness and gentleness. God, I want to be like those Beatitudes, a peacemaker. God, that's what I want in my life. And the Holy Spirit helps us. But I want to tell you something else. That word convict the world, he didn't say, I'm going to save you, now you go out and convict the world. Is that what he said? Your job is to go out and point everybody else's sins out. All right, let's go. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. I always like it this way. I can only convict so much. But the Holy Spirit, woo, don't mess with him. I also throw this. Now, if you smoke, tough luck, okay? Box of cigarettes. Anybody? Don't show them right now. On the side of that box of cigarettes, it says something. If you smoke these things, it's probably going to cause what? And what do? People still smoke them. Now, it's not good enough to smoke cigarettes. Now you got to go get a vape, right? What is that? What is those? Vape. There it is. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I want to vape now. Now you don't get cancer. You get metal contamination, okay? Does that cigarette box convict anybody? No. But I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit sure can do it. Whatever it is. See, it's not our job to convict. Don't go out pointing everybody else's sins out, is what I'm saying. Okay? I tell you what, I got enough in my closet, nobody needs to worry about taking care of me. God, you up all the time. You know the words I always say, God, hit me with a 2x4 before you get me with a 4x4. Help me learn fast, God. I'm serious. I pray that prayer. God, I want to be better. You know, and I wrestle with this, and I move with this. And I wanted to kind of share this. And I got a rather long passage here. I'm going to wrap up with this verse. I think I got another verse after this one, though, but kind of wrap this up. Because this is what Paul, this is the image. How do we live in this world today? And I think Paul has a good picture right here for that, okay? Here's what Paul says in the book of Romans, this ancient writing. I don't really understand myself. Anybody identify with that? I really don't understand myself. For to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Anybody ever do something you hate? You know, God, I want to do what's right. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law that it is good. What it's saying is, at least I know it's wrong. If you're doing something and you feel convicted by it, that's good. All right? That, you understand what I'm saying? If you're doing something and you feel convicted, that's good because you know it's wrong. That's what he just said. Then he goes, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. He's saying, I'm following my way, not your way. I want to do what is, I'm going to turn it over, right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I love these passages because I love all that. I'm confused. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle. Now, here we go. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anybody identify with that one? I love God's law with all my heart. God, you're convicting me, and I love it. Can you say that? I mean, really, that's good. If you're being convicted, love it. God's trying to help you. But there is another within me that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me from this life. Let's see, I got to make sure. Oh, within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Anybody feel like a miserable person? You did something wrong, you just feel miserable? Who will set me free from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. He said, I want to do what right, but God sets me free. Here's the good news. You don't have to do it your way anymore. Did you know that? You can do it God's way. That's the path. That's gone. That's over. And so I wrote it this way. If we're going to live in our world today and help the world out there understand us as Christians, the intolerance, the hatred we face, we got to do this. I admit I struggle to behave like a child of God. I admit I struggle to behave like a child of God. I'm not there yet. There was a song I learned when I was in college that one of the groups went around singing. And I love that song. It had a message for me. And it went like this. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not who I'm going to be. Praise God, I'm not what I was. Does that sound okay? I'm in this process. I'm in this sanctification. I'm going down this path. I am in the image of God, and I belong to Him. But I've crossed that line, and I believe, and I'm a child of God. And I'm trying to behave, and I'm struggling to live that life. To one, God is working. And it says this, God began a good work in you, and I am sure, I am positive, I am assured, it's going to happen. He will continue it until it is finished with Jesus Christ coming to you. Good news is God's not done with you. Is that okay? God's not done. And he won't be done until Jesus comes again or you leave this world. Take your pick. God's not done. So I just want to encourage us this morning. How do we live in this world today? How can I, as a Christian, face this world of outrage, our society that's just in an outrage right now? I don't know about you, but does this seem to be anger just boiling out? Am I right? You know, this, you know, our world, and you know, and how can we live? There's this hatred everywhere, and it's not just against Christians. There's all sorts of this out here. How can we live in this world? Well, I believe we live in this world not by behaving right and then believing and then belonging, but we live in this world when we realize that everyone belongs to God, that God loves everyone, and that He's called us to love them. Hurting and wounded, and like those two girls I shared it, I began, you know, sitting there on the couch and trying to figure out, why am I all messed up right now? The world has said it's okay. The world said you did okay. You did what was good for you. But now there's something inside of you saying, man, it's wrong, and I did something, and it's messing me. God said, come on over here. Let me put my arms around you. You belong. You belong to me. Now believe in me. Step across that line. Make that commitment. That's a hard word, man. You know, make that commitment, knowing that I'm not going to be perfect, but you know what? I'm going to strive and I'm going to struggle to behave. Does this make sense? I tried to summarize it in one little sentence here. Tell me what you think of this. We should be encouraging everyone to come in so that they can receive love and be directed towards the person who can save them and help them change their life, their behavior. What do you guys think? Can we do that? Can we be those kind of people? So I'm going to challenge us. I'm going to ask you where you're at in your process. It's a long, slow process. I want to ask you this morning, are you just not believing yet? You're made in the image of God, and you're just kind of going along doing life your way? I did it my way. Do you need to believe? You belong, but do you need to believe? I'm going to tell you, you belong here. I don't care where you've been. You belong here, right here in this place. But you also need to believe. You need to cross that line and believe. Maybe you need to make that decision this morning. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. My life is taken. Maybe you belong and you believe, but you quite haven't been behaving the way you think you should. Maybe you need to come back. And just like Paul, God, I messed up. I need to come back and renew my faith and renew my commitment and renew that image that you want in me. I want to reaffirm that that's my passion. That's my heart. Your laws are right, God, and my ways have not been. We need to make that decision. This is your time, so I'm going to ask. Belong, believe, behave. Where are you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words. That you don't set a standard that we must face and cross before we can belong. That you call us to belong, that you call us to your family, that we must cross that line. Lord, I pray this morning if someone needs to cross the line, that right now they'll just pray silently. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do it yours. My life is taking control. They'll just pray that prayer right now, right where they sit. But Lord, I ask for us who believe that you'll strengthen us, that your Holy Spirit will lead and empower us to struggle with our behavior. That the world may see our love, not just for one another in a building, but for a world that is wounded and hurting. Made some decisions and some battles and some wounds that they see. Let them know that they are loved by us. You know, their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. Maybe there's some battles you're facing. I don't know what they could be, but they're battles you're facing. And you want me to pray for you? Just say, you know, I'm struggling. Would you just pray? Just shoot your hand up and say, just pray. Pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these. They want that image of God to be in them. They want to look in the mirror, Lord, and see a reflection of you. But Lord, we can't do it on our own. Just as Paul said, there's something in us. There's a civil war. There's a battle within us that pulls us aside, that causes us to stumble, that causes us to fail. That, Lord, you are a God of mercy and grace. So I ask you, pour out your grace upon these. Forgive them for their transgressions, as you said in the wonderful prayer. Forgive us of doubts and fill our wounds, Lord. Wrap your arms around them and give them that sense of belonging, that reaffirmation that they are a child of God. And that you will walk with them as they walk through this world. And Lord, I pray that others will see Jesus in us and want to join us in this wonderful time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.